Ryan may lose his mind in a bit because someone wants to come on the show and argue that the Chiefs' Big Three is more special than the Cowboys' old Big Three of his buddy Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, and Emmitt Smith. Blasphemous or bold truth? You decide that in just a bit. To the Bears now. Bears fans are smiling. Justin Fields gets his first career NFL start with Andy Dalton expected to be out with a left knee injury. Fields will be under center for the Bears game Sunday against the Browns. Nick Foles will serve as the backup to Fields, who is 6 of 13 for 60 yards, an interception, and ran for 31 yards on 10 carries in place of Dalton in last Sunday's win against the Bengals. Here's more from Coach Nagy.
When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. And then I go back to for Justin. Justin's worried about right now, and Justin's worried about trying to help us beat Cleveland. I've talked about it this entire time that we're not going to get into that what-if game. I don't really want to go there other than just saying that when Andy is healthy, he's our starter.
Look who joined the party.
Look at suit. Do you see the suit?
I mean,
with the tie.
It looks very handsome.
I mean, damn.
Well, I mean,
you know,
okay. Do we all
and the cufflinks.
We all the cuff.
And the
cuff. Come on,
you know. Biggie.
Do we all got shades of blue
monogram
on?
Monogram too. You know, look, I mean, well, I'm all black.
I'm very proud of the way you're looking right now.
Oh my God.
I want to give you props where it's due, and I want to especially thank you for obeying instructions and not showing up here, you know, looking all raggedy and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Thinking you pimping. Now this is how you dress. Make sure that continues. Let's move on.
How do I move on from obeying instructions?
Do you see me stressing about this?
Don't let him talk to you like that, big boy.
He understands.
Don't tell me what to do.
Dan, you know the deal.
You look a shock, though. You look a shock, my brother.
I know.
You look a shock.
Damian, you're up first. Let's just quiet him for a minute. How has Nagy handled his rookie quarterback, Justin Fields, thus far?
I just found this whole thing just befuddling to me. I really did. I just think, you know, the one thing about Matt Nagy, he was saying basically he's not ready. He's not ready to start. He's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Andy Dalton goes out there, gets hurt. We all know what Andy Dalton is, okay? We've seen the script from him and all that type of stuff. But if your guy is not ready, why isn't Nick Foles out there playing? Why isn't that? I mean, it's not like Nick Foles, you know, hasn't won a Super Bowl. It's not like he's not a champion. It's not like you're not paying him a bunch of money. If the guy, if you're saying that he's not ready to take the reins of this franchise, you know, quite yet, then why aren't you putting the more seasoned veteran out there if you want to continue with the plan of making sure that you sit Justin Fields so you can continue to bring him along? That's the thing that just upsets me. I look at some of these other situations out here in the National Football League, whether it's, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson playing in teams that are far worse than what the Chicago Bears are. Remember, Chicago Bears was in the playoffs last year. And you mean to tell me, and I know this is, you know, basically rehashing, you mean to tell me that Justin Fields couldn't have been starting from the beginning on a team that went to the playoffs last year? A team that Justin Fields, a guy who was balling out at Ohio State? But you're saying that he wasn't ready to start at the beginning of the year, but now here it is, Andy Dalton is hurt.
Yeah.
And you're ready to insert him into the lineup instead of Nick Foles, who's still getting paid a bunch of money by the Chicago Bears. It, to me, it's just a series of moves that I just don't understand for Matt Nagy right now.
I understand it.
That's fair.
I understand it. He might not know what the hell he's doing. How that sounds? Sounds simple to me.
I mean, hey, it
might just be that very simple, okay? Listen, you passed up on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, moved up in the draft while passing up on those two to get Mitchell Trubisky. That's how I like to say Mitchell Trubisky. All right, who's now a backup in Buffalo. And you're backing up a six-year, $258 million man. That's the contract that Josh Allen just signed. If that ain't the epitome of stealing money, because you ain't getting paid for playing football. And you ain't getting paid for playing football, right? You're going to be holding the clipboard. That's what you're going to be doing on Sundays, on occasion there on Thursday night. God forbid they on Monday night again. This is what it is. This is what we're talking about here. So, again, you've got a guy in Nick Foles. Nick Foles is approaching his 10th year in the National Football League. And he's a Super Bowl champion. And he's been to the playoffs a couple of times within the last 4 years or so. You can't start him for a couple of games? Really? That's Matt Nagy. It's got Matt Nagy written all over it, okay? And the reason, this is why I say to you, Dan Orlovsky, this is why I say to you, go ahead and put him in. Sit Justin Fields down. Because let me tell you something. The man, Justin Fields, thus far this year, has thrown an interception. He's completed about 53% of his passes. He's hit like 8 of 15 throws or whatever. And the first time you really give him full action, he got to worry about Myles Garrett on one end and Jadeveon Clowney on another. I don't know if I want to subject him to that, Dan Orlovsky. I just don't.
Wood, I am so disappointed in you right now.
That's right.
The fact that you could come on this show, Stephen A. Show, on television, and honestly think that the best thing for the Bears to do is to play Nick Foles over Justin Fields?
Did you hear anything I said,
you're
Dan Orlovsky?
Say, you
did you hear anything I said?
You
I said if the plan...
You said you're befuddled by the situation, for the life of you, your words were, for the life of me, I can't understand why they're not putting Nick Foles out there. There's no way this is blasphemous, erroneous, nutritious, whatever is what you want to think.
Nutritious? Whatever. That was where you went next, nutritious.
Whatever word you want to think of that has the ending. Whatever word, dude. There's no way. There's no way that you honestly think Nick Foles gives this team a better chance to play.
I never said that.
Why are you asking how could you not play Nick Foles? Why are you asking me that then? That's what I want to know.
Well, my question is, If Justin Fields wasn't ready week three, if all of a sudden he's ready now, why wasn't he ready week one? That's the central part of what I'm saying here. What's the difference between, okay, we're going to insert him into the starting lineup now opposed to week one?
3 weeks.
There's no difference in my opinion.
Wood. I'm with you. America. Justin Fields is not ready. No, he is not ready to just go walk out there and be a bona fide rock star starting quarterback. No rookie is. Mac Jones isn't. Patrick Mahomes wasn't. Can they go make some plays? Do they have a skill set that they can go and survive with? Justin Fields does. And you go back and you watch what he did last week, because that's the first time he's had that extended playing time, that he's had to go in a moment, okay, I got to go run the football team rather than sprinkle in for a play or two. He plays well. Did he throw every ball perfectly on time? No. Was he a blink late in some stuff? Yes.
Can I take an audible? Because, again, I'm not going to belabor this point anymore for a couple of reasons. Number one, Nick Foles is a Super Bowl champion. I'd rather see him in a game against Cleveland than a rookie. But that's just me. The reason why I really want to move on is because we've mentioned Matt Nagy too many times. They don't want to talk about him in Chicago.
Why do we want to talk about him
on national television? Can we talk about Tom Brady?
Good. I got
Let's
something
do that,
for
Dan
you on Tom Brady.
Let's do that, okay?
All right.
Okay,
I'm gonna
let's do that. Check out what Tom Brady's personal trainer Alex Guerrero had to say about the future Hall of Famer's relationship with his former head coach. The interesting thing, I think, there, and this is just me, an outsider looking in, it was like Bill never really, I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age, Guerrero said. I think in time with Tom, as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. He continued by saying, and all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. Those are all courtesy of the Boston Herald. Wow, strong comments there. And his father also spoke, and his father was saying that Bill Belichick wanted him out and that, you know, he still has a chip on his shoulder because of that, obviously, with the game approaching in early October. I'll start with the former Patriot who won 2 Super Bowls with them. Your reaction to those comments?
Here's what I'm going to say. Whatever you hear Alex Guerrero or Tom Brady Sr. say, you damn well better believe that Tom Brady signs off on all of that stuff. They're not going to just say
Amen.
Things and just throw things out there without it being, you know, without everyone being involved and everyone signing off on it, okay? And what we see up in New England is, you know, during Tom Brady's time, during 20 years, We never saw the relationship evolve. At one point, yeah, Tom Brady, I was there early on where they were still developing Tom, and Tom, you know, we started the dynasty at that point. But as time went on, Tom Brady had accumulated so much status, so many accolades, that the relationship went from, it should have went from player to coach to more of a partnership. Because we all know, Molly, and Dan can speak to this, not all players get treated the same. Yeah. That's just the fact. That's just the way sports is. It doesn't, like, you could talk about, like, LeBron doesn't get treated the same as any other guys on the Lakers or any other superstar. Whatever superstar you want to point to in any sport, their relationship is different than the other guys on the team because guess what? They've earned that.
Yeah.
And what we've seen up in New England during the 20 years is we never saw that partnership that Tom Brady had earned through all the accolades, all the things that he, all the accomplishments that he won in New England. And I'm just, listen, I'm just here to tell you, I know we got the Bucs got the Rams this week, but I'm telling you, you better believe that this is on Tom Brady's mind.
I can't wait for that game. That's the Super Bowl for me.
Going up to Foxborough.
I wish we were going to be there.
And laying the smackdown up in New England.
Yeah.
I can tell you that
Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, Wood, I want to kind of touch on something you mentioned. So, like, 2010 world, I'm down with the Houston Texans. And we got a relatively good veteran team. Andre Johnson was one of those receivers. Our head coach was Gary Kubiak. And we would go outdoor to indoor practice-wise. And Kubes didn't want to practice inside because Andre would really never practice inside. And Woody, you know this because they're surface, right, on the joints.
Yep.
And a couple of the young players used to get upset about it, be like, why does Andre get not to practice and whatnot? And Gary Kubiak said, I'll treat you guys all fairly but not equally.
That's
right. And you guys have not earned the right for me to treat you the way I treat Andre. And I think it's one of those situations where you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Bill has his way, and it's worked. And he doesn't want to hear from anybody else of doing it differently, because we watched Brady develop this TB12 method, right? And Brady continues to have success, and he's doing it a little bit differently than the Patriot way. And maybe this is an assumption by me, but I guarantee he's looking at Belichick going, why can't you adjust this to the doing things the way that I do them a little bit? You know, why can't you value the way that I do things? And eventually when Bill comes to a point, he's like, no, we do it this way. And Tom's like, well, I'm doing it this way and I've had success. Well, I think that really started to fracture at least the business relationship.
I agree with you for the most part, Dan Orlovsky. I really do. Both of you, actually. You too, Damian. What I would say to you, however, is that I think it extends even further in certain respects. If you remember, when it first came down that Tom was leaving all that stuff, I basically came on the air and reported. I didn't give an opinion. I reported news, and I said, look, if Bill Belichick wanted Tom Brady back, Mr. Kraft and the Patriots would have worked it out, and Tom Brady would have stayed in New England. Bill Belichick wouldn't do that. So Tom Brady walked out the door. Now, that's Bill being old school. That's Bill being stubborn. That's Bill being about his way, because particularly when you win enough, guys, you know this. When you win enough, you get to a point where you say, I'd rather do it my way. See, when you're starving to win at all costs is when you've never won.
Yeah.
But when you win, now it's like, all right, I proved myself. Yeah. So I'm going to make sure I'm comfortable with how things are. And if you're Bill Belichick and you're deferential to a player, even one the caliber of Tom Brady, you're still viewing him as a player. And Tom Brady's mentality is like, I've earned the right to be viewed as something more than that, as something more as just a typical dude that's showing up to work, doing the job you need me to do. I've done that for you. Do right by me. And so he thought about the pay cuts, and he thought about the alterations and modifications to his salary and some of the other sacrifices that he made. And he's like, and you're going to treat me like this? Guys, that extends to corporate America everywhere.
Of course.
If you have people, when you have talent that's big time and they produce for you and they do things your way and they put in that work, but you still want to treat them like they're just anybody else, that's when they don't want to work for you no more. Because they're looking to be appreciated. And that is what happened in New England, which is why Bill Belichick better make damn sure that he wins in the future.
Because even with the 6 rings as a head coach and the 2 as a coordinator, if he never wins again, but Tom Brady continues to win, it will forever be held against him because you know that's the reason you're struggling, because you wouldn't adapt, and it will be held against him.
That's a good word.
Absolutely. Saints at Foxborough on Sunday. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day. Patrick Mahomes, it's no secret the Chiefs boast one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. Unreal. Damian, you're high on that Kansas City triple threat, they tell me, of Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. I don't blame you, but I hear you got a big take.
Yeah, Molly, listen, I've been pondering and thinking about these guys, this triplet, and it harkened back to the triplets of the Dallas Cowboys. Can this triplet actually be better than the triplets of the Dallas Cowboys?
What?
Yeah. And I'm going, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. This triplet from the Kansas City Chiefs will ultimately be better than the triplets from the Dallas Cowboys. Now, come on over. I know you want to chop it up with me. I know you're looking at me crazy. You got Michael Irvin, you know, that's here every Monday. Y'all, you know, chopping up, talking crazy, whatever. But yeah, I've been thinking about this. I've been definitely thinking about this one and what these boys have been doing at the start of their career, Stephen A. At the start of their career, what Patrick Mahomes has done is just special. I mean, you're talking about a league MVP, a Super Bowl champion, the best quarterback in the National Football League, okay? You're talking about Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the league. This man is basically unguardable. You can line him up as a wide receiver in line. Wherever you put Travis Kelce, you can't guard the man, okay? And then that boy Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is the scariest deep threat that's in the game of football right now. Maybe the scariest skill position guy in the National Football League. Every time you talk about when teams play the Kansas City Chiefs, you know what they're saying? Get deeper than the defense, because that boy Tyreek Hill looking like Usain Bolt out there on the football field. And we got it, and we're going to be dealing with this for maybe the next decade plus. Now, I know Travis Kelce is up there in age, but we're talking about Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. That's what we got to be talking about for the next decade plus. And you don't think they have an opportunity to be better than the triplets with the Dallas Cowboys? Talk to me. Talk to me, because I'm standing right here. I'm standing right here. I need you to talk to me.
You know, there's a lot of blasphemous things that have been, you know, verbalized on this show over the years. I don't know if I've ever experienced a more blasphemous moment than what you just brought up about to me, because you have forced me to come to the defense of the Dallas Cowboys.
I have.
You have forced me to come to the defense of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
We're not going individual talent. We know the cheat is something special. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We understand that Michael Irvin is just 11,000 yards, 11,000 receiving yards. Emmitt Smith retired as the all-time leading rusher in NFL history, but that's neither here nor there. The game was different, okay?
Yes, it was.
But here's the bottom line. This one. So we're not going to talk about numbers. We look at the talent that is Patrick Mahomes. We've never seen anything like it. Cheat is special. Travis Kelce, my brother from another mother. There's something special. One of the all-time greats at the tight end spot. The best tight end in football at this particular moment in time, as far as I'm concerned. But can they win one more Super Bowl first? I mean, damn! They just got mopped in the Super Bowl.
Okay, they lost.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Troy Aikman is a 3-time Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
Emmitt Smith is a 3-time Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. The playmaker with his You got me defending this brother right here. This man, Michael Irvin, in zoot suits and high afro, mm-hmm. talking about that's real estate. Mm-hmm. All three Hall of Famers, mm-hmm. three-time Super Bowl champions,
yeah. mm-hmm.
in an era where you actually were allowed to play defense. In an era where you didn't have to sit up there and worry about getting thrown out of a game for mm-hmm. passing gas. I mean, damn. This is the state of the NFL today. You see Ray Lewis. Don't let me get Hall of Famers like Ray Lewis, Derrick Brooks, and the crew back up in here to explain to you.
You can get whoever you want.
No, what I'm saying.
You can get whatever you want.
Wait a minute, damn it. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. The game has changed. You are a champion. Yeah. You know how soft the game is compared to what it used to be.
So let me ask you a question.
You're just going to bring all
that in.
You're just going to do that.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question.
Three-time Super Bowl
champion. No. I'm not. No, listen. I'm not disrespecting
any
of
those
guys.
I am not. You are disrespecting
them. I just think that highly of those boys in Kansas City.
One ring?
These dudes, 25 years old, 25, 26 years old.
Wait. Do you got the winner this year?
Say what?
You got a winner this year.
No, hold on.
You don't even have a winner this year.
Yeah.
You don't have a winner this year.
I got the Bucks repeat.
Oh, you got the
Bucks repeat. Wait a minute.
So not only do you have the Kansas City Chiefs, who just got blown out uh-huh. in the Super Bowl,
right?
You got them coming back again and losing to the Bucks, and you're gonna sit up there and compare them to three-time Super Bowl champions.
Wait a minute, hold on. The last month, was the Dallas Cowboys in every Super Bowl? They were in every Super Bowl.
It took Jerry Rice and Steve Young and those boys to take them down. Prime time had to come over to take them down. Prime time had to come over.
Okay.
This is what happened.
Okay, I'm just saying. We're talking about
how old is Patrick Mahomes?
Like 25, 26 yeah. years old?
He's
like, you got to deal with that dog for the next decade.
Hey, football's
okay,
a violent
next
sport.
Decade.
Football's a violent sport. We don't
Dan,
do that.
Dan, get in on
turn
this.
Turn around.
Okay,
I know, Dan, you might think it's neutral.
Don't blast my view.
Go
ahead.
All right, Stephen A., listen, I share a locker room with this dude. Now you know what it's like to be around Big Wood talking in these arguments. There's nothing more that I hate doing than talking about the Cowboys in a positive sense. It's the Cowboys. It's the Cowboys still. We're not talking about quarterbacks because Patrick is the most talented.
Right.
The Cowboys basically birthed the triplets. I grew up watching the Cowboys like everybody.
So you being nostalgic. You being nostalgic right now.
Bro,
is that
those
what?
Three dudes.
You being nostalgic right now.
Let him speak. Let him speak. You got to be.
I don't know. And I got nothing but love for Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I don't know if they could go across the middle like Irvin did. I don't know. And take the shots like Mike did. I don't know if they could be physical like Emmett did or be as clutch like Troy Aikman was. Patrick's going to be the better player, but the Cowboys are still, when it comes to triplets, those three dudes are still the standard, and no one has jumped them since.
You got it all up to this is what I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to give you the last word on this. Even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to give it to you.
No, I deserve it.
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't. Hold on for a second. Yeah. Let's fix the time.
Fix that time.
I know because it is looking good.
Okay, go ahead. All right. Now, here's the deal. My point is you can't have a three-time Super Bowl, a trio that won three chips and sit up there and bring in a team that's got one just got blown out in the Super Bowl, and that you got losing again. I mean, that don't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Wait a minute, can I tell you? Because the story isn't finished yet.
We're talking about
guys that are in their mid-20s. Think about what these guys have accomplished already. I understand the nostalgia.
We see a lot of guys. This is not basketball. This is football.
Okay.
We see a lot of guys. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan Orlovsky. We see a lot of guys that look a little bit different 2 years later than they did 2 years earlier in the sport of football. Is that not true?
No, you're right. Yeah, because your body gets beat up so much, for sure.
I'd say this. Come to me then.
Okay.
I'm with you. Okay. I love those three dudes. Back in and still gonna pick them up again. Michael Irvin.
What you talking about?
You heard what I'm talking about.
Gentlemen, I'm done with this conversation. That was very entertaining, but I will be revisiting this with Michael Irvin again on Monday. See what he has to say about what was just spoken about those triplets.
Hold on.
I'm scared.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah,
let me tell you something right now.
But I'll wait for you.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The one thing that I do, Do you see this big body? Do you think this big body can hide anywhere?
Man, we ain't scared
of you. I'm not hiding from you, the playmaker, or anybody.
Look, Biggie.
I will say whatever I got to say.
Look, Biggie, we ain't hiding from you.
I'm going to say what I got to say.
You make sure you around.
Now, I know Molly got to get to this bump, but I'm going to get off what I got to get off.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Fix your top. And fix the microphone.
I'm not doing anything. Matter of fact, I might take off my top.
All right, America, pray for me. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Oh, those Saints head to Foxborough this week to take on the Patriots. Both teams are 1-1, but Saints fans must be wondering, are they going to get the Jameis from the Packers game who threw 5 touchdowns or Jameis versus the Panthers who had no touchdowns and 2 picks? Bill Belichick is preparing for the former.
It's really a quarterback. He threw for 5,000 yards in Tampa, so it's not like this guy hasn't been productive. He's big, he's strong, he's accurate. He's got a good touch on the ball. The offense that he ran in Tampa is a lot different than the offense he's running in New Orleans. But I mean, fundamentally, this is a big, strong guy that can throw the ball accurately. He's very good down the field. He's a tough guy to tackle. He's strong in the pocket. Can make every throw on the field. I mean, he's pretty good.
Belichick in midseason form. You see that, Dan? The guns out and everything. He's ready to go.
Man, he takes care of his body, right? No weights, no dates.
Exactly.
Already then.
Dan, was week one. I never heard that one. No weights,
no
dates.
No weights, no dates,
yeah. I'm going
to
start using
it. It's a way to live, Miles.
I actually do get in the weight room, even though it doesn't look like it. All right, Dan, was week one with Jameis a fluke?
No, I don't think it was a fluke. Jameis is probably going to be likely between the player that was week one and week two. Now, week one, everyone was saying, well, MVP of the NFL, he played well. He made good decisions with the football. He wasn't tasked to do a lot. He made some plays with his feet, which was really nice. He never put the ball in harm's way. That was great. And then last week, he didn't play as bad as 11 for 22 for 111 yards and 2 picks. One of those picks, what everyone kind of made the meme of on the internet, was him falling down. And it was 3rd and 10 from like the 40-yard line with 23 seconds to go in the first half. It's basically a Hail Mary. So I'm not like judging Jameis and going, well, that was a terrible decision. He's not going to be a guy that we seriously believe is going to be an MVP candidate. And I don't think he's going to be the guy that did not produce in week two of the season. Their offensive line was absolutely abused by Carolina. Abused. No quarterback was going to go and be able to operate well because, I mean, if you go to the Carolina game, Stephen A., the Panthers run the same blitz at the end of the first half 3 times in a row. The same blitz 3 times in a row. New Orleans doesn't block it a single time. So, like, I'm going to give Jameis a little bit of a pass from week two in his performance and really blame everybody associated with that offense. Jameis, I think, will be fine. It's a huge challenge going to New England. He's not going to be MVP of the NFL, but he's not going to be a guy that's a disaster in New Orleans.
It was a fluke. Somebody got to say it. It was a fluke. Okay? And you know why it was a fluke? Because he threw 0 interceptions. That's why it was a fluke. We all know who we talking about here. I mean, see, this is what bothers me. I got to end up being a bad guy just because somebody got to tell the truth. I mean, just stop it.
Guy.
I mean, look, where is Marcus Spears? Where he hiding at?
Because Marcus this called him MVP.
Listen, he called him MVP. That's right. I saw it. Not only did he come on here, he went on NFL Live. I told you I'm watching y'all. The man went on NFL Live. Yeah. Talked about he's MVP. That's what he said about Jameis Winston.
Okay. Well.
That's what he said about Jameis Winston, right? But I want to give the NFL Live crew love because they deserve it. Here's the deal. That's not true. It's not true, all right? Now, don't get me wrong. Jameis Winston is not as bad as he looked last week because, like Dan Orlovsky said, That wasn't there for me. And they got 10, Carolina's got 10 sacks on the season in the first two games. They abused New Orleans' offensive line. We get all of that. We understand it. Michael Thomas is not there. Let's throw that into consideration. Alvin Kamara hasn't looked the same. He only got like 88 yards rushing or something like that in the first two games. Now, I don't know what the hell James Winston was thinking there, throwing it with his left hand, just trying to throw it away before getting sacked. But that's a different story for another day. My point to y'all is this. When you think about Jameis Winston, if you want to know whether something is fluky or not, all you have to do is look at the interceptions. If it says zero, it's a fluke. It's really that simple. It's not that complicated.
It's absolutely it's not fair for you to do this. It's not fair. Because we have both ends of the spectrum. Okay. Give us week 3 to break the tie, and then we can decide. No. It's too early.
Fine, but listen, you didn't ask me in week 3. You asked me before week 3.
Yeah.
Is it week 3 yet? I don't think it's week 3 yet. Week 3 started tonight. But the point is that they ain't played a third game yet. All I got to go on is the first 2 weeks of evidence, and all I'm saying is, after what they were saying about him for week 1, it's not that fluke is a bad thing. Like, oh, my God, Jameis Winston's not a starter.
Oh, it's a compliment.
He can't play. No. What I'm saying is what they were saying about him, the hyperbole everybody engaged in about him in week 1, it's not consistent. And, oh, by the way, just so you know, Molly, as I sit here, and it's not bad, but I just want to remind you.
Okay.
I got his thumbs here.
Don't go last year. Don't give me last year because I don't want to hear it.
15 interceptions, 18, 11, 14, of course, the 30. Yeah.
And I don't live in the past. Only these
hold
two
it.
Games.
All I'm trying to say is when you see zero interceptions with Jameis Winston, that's fluky.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Steve,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm not trying to be like Messi Fessy and a bad teammate over here and clowning on Marcus for the MVP conference. I know what Marcus is. Marcus is a believer in Jameis. Mm-hmm. If Jameis can go almost every other game, pick, no pick, that's going to be progress for him.
Yes,
I did not watch week 1 and go, huh. Jameis is playing like the number one pick. He's playing like an absolute difference maker. I just thought he valued the football well. But I'm not going to kill him, just like I didn't praise him. But you're saying if he doesn't throw a pick, that's a fluke. I think because of the situation, we got to give him a little bit more time in New Orleans to see if he can actually value the football rather than give it away. I agree. The interception aspect is a thing. It's the only thing that really matters in this conversation with him. But I think the two in week 2 were a little bit different.
Jameis Winston is a good quarterback that has the potential to be great. I'm not knocking that.
Yeah.
But people came on the show talking MVP candidate and all that other stuff. We going to kill that noise.
He's a good quarterback with
an upside
who deserves to
be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
I will say this. The Packers, it was like a preseason game for them. They were clearly a little bit rusty. And one thing that is a little curious to your point, Stephen A., he had 5 touchdowns, but only 148 yards. So you'd expect more yards.
Oh, now you bring that up. But when I brought that up in week 1, Molly was like this. Why are you hating on him, Stephen A.? Why are you hating on him?
He's also going to play against a team this weekend that got 4 bingos last week. So if he goes out and values the football, then, again, I think it's a little bit of in between.
Yeah.
He ain't the guy that was a killer in week one.
I need to see week 3.
Week
you know what, I'm with Dan, you, Dan. Give me one more week. We got to go to break.
You know what, Dan? If I go to Hair Club for Men, I'll have an afro.
Oh, my.
Okay.
You know, it's
Let's
not
go.
A Hair Club
Let's
for Men.
Like Michael
Irvin's? Okay.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. The start of the NBA season just weeks away. ESPN sources saying the Warriors are dealing with an ongoing headache behind the scenes due to Andrew Wiggins' decision to not get vaccinated. The Warriors are worried that San Francisco's vaccine mandates and the NBA's decision to follow local protocols could lead to Wiggins missing games. The San Francisco Chronicle reports that there's a belief Wiggins will be granted a religious exemption from the NBA, but the San Francisco city government has the power to override that exemption. Stephen A., how should the Warriors handle this situation?
They should trade Andrew Wiggins today. Period. Get rid of him. Send him someplace else. This is not a hard situation. It's not a hard decision for me. I understand he's averaging 18 points a game from last season. He's no scrub. He can play even though it's the quietest 18-point-per-game scorer I've ever seen. That's just how I feel about him. I'm not saying he can't play. I'm saying he's not assertive when he needs to be. And as a result, that's why I don't think that great of him, even though I know he can play. But this situation with the vaccination really has me vexed in this regard. And I think it's important to point out. Andrew Wiggins right now, because of the vaccination mandate in the city of San Francisco, would not be able to play in 41 home games for the Golden State Warriors. Then what you need him for? What good is he to you? Now, the only state right now, the only cities right now in the NBA that have those vaccination mandates are New York City and San Francisco, which means that KD and Kyrie and them in Brooklyn, I don't know their status, but it could be problematic for them. It could be problematic for the New York Knicks, of course. So those are issues that you have to deal with. Golden State Warriors about to compete for a championship. Klay Thompson's coming back. Steph Curry's there, okay? And by the way, you know, once upon a time, I was pushing Trey Wiggins along with another player and two first-round picks or whatever to go and get yourself Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
But they don't believe Ben Simmons and Draymond Green meshes. But my issue with the vaccination, I will repeat what I said the other day. I'm not going after athletes or anybody else. But in the NBA, you got the coaches, you got the medical staff, NBA personnel. Everybody has to be vaccinated. The only people that don't have to be is the players. Makes no sense to me. I know they can't do it because you got to negotiate that with the Players Association. But still in all, it's a bad situation. The most important thing to point out is this, and I'll move on. When you get a prescription from a doctor, you get the prescription, you go to the doctor. Obviously, you get the prescription from the doctor, you go to the pharmacy, you get it filled, you take it.
Yeah.
If you are one of those dudes that grabs a prescription and Googles every ingredient to see what's in it before you take it, I got nothing to say to you. I still think you should be vaccinated, but I got nothing to say. Because your position is consistent. But professional athletes are notorious for putting things in their body they don't even know. And all of a sudden, now that you have the ability to harm other people, because you could potentially damage them, contaminate them, if you contract COVID, suddenly you want to get righteous and be like, nah, I'm not taking this? That makes no sense to me. And so as a result of that, if you're the Golden State Warriors, trade him now. Period. That's where I'm at with it.
We have to get to the Cowboys, but I'd like to have a bigger discussion about this because I have a lot of follow-up questions for you another
day. Let's do that tomorrow.
Yeah,
do it tomorrow.
Let's do it tomorrow. Yes. Okay. So Wentz's former teammate, the Eagles, take on the Cowboys Monday Night Football. Both teams 1-1. The Cowboys have been impressive, narrowly losing their week one opener versus the defending champion Buccaneers. Dan, are the Cowboys better than you thought?
Absolutely, yeah. They're better than I thought. And that makes me sick to say because I did not think they were going to be very good. But Dan Quinn's made that defense better. Micah Parsons has made that defense better. Kellen Moore is doing a great job. He's going to be a head coach next year. The Cowboys are better than I thought. That being said, Molly, I know where I sleep at night. I still rock with the Eagles. I still rock with the Kelly Green. That's not the most important conversation right now, though. Mm-hmm. We need Stephen A. to understand that he's got to learn. He got to learn from last week. He's got to learn from the conversations that we had last week. He's got to learn from some of the teaching. Get
your hands out of your... We know you got deep pockets. We know you make a lot of money. What are you looking for, Stephen A? I talked last week about the left hand.
We need a body language
expert.
You
got double hands in the pocket. Are you looking for car keys? Are you looking for spare chains? Are you trying to?
I think that's
fear. Are you trying to show America how much money you got by how deep your pockets are? We got to get better. Get your hands out your pockets.
Okay, hold on, because I want to continue on. Can I get my single shot, please? So you do need to learn. You do need to learn. And it begins with this. There was no romp in the swamp. So Tim Tebow had you. He said 3 touchdowns. Florida almost won the game. And I asked our First Take staff, I said, you know what? This isn't loud enough for me.
No, that's not good
enough. I need more. And guess what? By the end of the show, they delivered. Here it is. This is what you're wearing tomorrow. I asked for more Gators, and they got me more Gators in the 2 hours, because in New York City, you can get anything. So I hope you wear orange pants with this. That's my request. So can you get
this? This is betrayal. This is betrayal. And Dan Orlovsky, you can say that all you want to. I will remind you, Dallas has the second worst defense against the pass. Tim Tebow, hopefully
Stephen
you'll get
A.
sick and you won't be here
Stephen
tomorrow.
Stephen A., when's the romp happening? Still waiting. Let's go. Tomorrow. Hi, Tim.